Hi, this is Paul Jones, pastor of Victory World Outreach. Thank you for visiting our podcast. I hope this ministry from our preaching team brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
Bibles today. Before I preach, I just want to know how many. I know that Virginia is here. She lost her mother-in-law just last night. So we're praying for you, that God would just be with you and comfort you. And then we want to remind all the men that there's a men's discipleship class, call it whatever, men's discipleship next Friday, 5:30. Everybody say 5:30. Say in the morning. No, in the morning. Yeah. That means that we're gonna shake that sheet devil off. And they've got coffee and donuts. Amen. Donuts, all you can eat. Low calorie, high fiber. Well, you're going to have a good time. Next Friday morning, it's going to be great. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. And I remember when a horse threw me a few years back, and I was laid up for a good while. And during that time, I just perused and took in the book of Acts. It is an example of the church and how it sparkled literally with the supernatural. It's called the Acts of the Apostles, but it could be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because God was at work so mightily at work in people's lives, ordinary garden variety, just like you and me. He was at work in their lives, and this is sometimes removed from us because when we look into the scriptures and we hear about these people, we see them with halos, and they're so beyond us, and we could never measure up, do, or be what they are. But when you stop to think about it, they were real people. I remember going into India, and in the city of Madras is where you first land after going into Singapore. And in Madras, India, we're traveling down the road, and the man that's taking us where we're going said, "You see that mountain, that hill right over there? That's where Thomas," called Didymus is what the scripture calls him, "Thomas was ran through with a spear, and there's a church there." He had traveled further than any of the other disciples, and yet he was the one who doubted. Why would we call him Doubting Thomas? He just had some serious questions on his mind. Amen. How many has ever had some questions on your mind? Said, "God, I don't know how this is ever going to work out. I'm here, and they're there, and I don't know how I'm going to get where I need to go." But you know what? He was a real man. Peter was real. He was a man. He followed Christ. And was always shooting his mouth off and saying something stupid. And of course, Paul the Apostle was real. And David was real. These men lived, experienced, and saw the power of God in their life. I think the question today is, can you and I see the power of God in our life? Amen. Is God really hearing us when we pray? Or are we just talking in the air? Now, I have to remind you something. My mom always told us, if you can't forgive somebody of an offense, your prayers won't go any higher than the ceiling. Amen. So that means we have to be, the ability to forgive is such a wonderful thing. Somewhere in our childhood, how many ever was abused by a school teacher besides me? My wife was. She tells me about that. When I was in the eighth grade, Ms. Murphy took a paddle to me. Yeah, they beat us back then. I think they need to incorporate that back into the school system, but I'm just... She had one eye that cocked over, honestly. I'm not making fun. That's just the truth. And she, first day in class, she's looking at this and she said, "Ronnie Jones." I said, "How did she do that?" But the truth is, we've all had people betray us, let us down. What is an offense? It's an annoyance or resentment brought about a personal or perceived insult. And there are times in our life when someone says something to us that's critical, and it hurts. But somehow we have to say, oh, well, I let it go, I forgive it. You have to if you're a pastor, that's for sure. Now, if you're in business, you just take them to small claims court. But in pastoring, you don't have that privilege. You say, okay, thank you, Lord. And so when it comes, it's a perceived insult. There are insults and there are annoyances and offenses. Some are real, some are imagined. Some are imagined, especially among siblings. Amen. But today I want to preach about a man for a few minutes that is at one of the greatest stories. I love this story. It's an account on speaking about Cornelius. And so if you have your Bible, turn over there. Maybe you have it. If you do, Acts chapter 10. And it's a story, the account of him being saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is a truly amazing story. So here it is, Acts 10, verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. That doesn't mean he was 100. It means he was over 100 people under him, of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God and all his household, who gave alms money generously to the people and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, that ninth hour is about 3 p.m, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms or your giving has come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Notice here that an angel came and in that day appeared in the presence of Peter, because God doesn't use angels to preach this gospel. He used those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and have experienced the new birth. And they have a message to give. You have a message to speak wherever you are. And so this angel talks to him. Number 2, he compliments him. I mean, he's not even in the household of faith. He's outside the realm of faith in that day. He's a Gentile. Only Jews were saved. And so he tells him a man's name, where he lives, tells him to send for him. It's supernatural all the way. You see, this gospel today and the kingdom of God is not man-made. It's God-made and engineered. He is the Lord who sees every detail of our life. He's numbered the hair upon your head. He knows your name. He has a plan. He has a supernatural way and means to make that a reality in every person here today. And so he says, your prayers have been heard. The question is, does God really speak and work supernaturally? That's the question. Does he talk to people? Does he give people counsel and wisdom to make it through this old world? You know, it's only a brief time we're here. How many know? When you get up to around 40 and 45, you begin to get a perspective that life is but a vapor. It's a moving stream. I mean, I can remember when I turned 30, I thought I was getting old. And I thought, you know what, if I knew I was going to get this old, I'd have taken better care of myself. But the fact of the matter is, do you really believe it? Well, the scripture says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, it shall come to pass in the last days, say last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. We are that generation. We are a people that God is looking upon, and the clock is moving, and God is going to do something powerful beyond our own imagination, beginning to speak to people and how to speak through those people to those that are lost. Now, look at this account. It's so powerful. Here's a man who's he's a Roman army officer, and here it is. God is talking to someone, and according to the Jews of that day, Cornelius had several things going for him, but according to the Jews, they never would have believed that God would talk and direct this man's life and his family supernaturally. You see, God moves where he wants to move. God uses who he wants to use. And it'll amaze us how God will use someone that we never dreamed would be used of the Lord. So the Lord in this scripture gives us some traits and habits. Habits, if you please. And he became, as John Holland said once, a slave to those habits. In other words, they became a part of his life. And here he picks a man with some very important traits in his life, and he details those traits for us. First of all, he says he was devout. That's having or showing deep religious feeling or commitment, totally committed to belief, something. He has a heart that is open and he's hungry. I've seen people like that. And when you're speaking, they're drinking in. They're saying, yes, this is what I'm looking for. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 5 says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in the holy place, his holy place? Who? He who has clean hands and the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father, no man except through me, Jesus said. Hallelujah. So God is looking for people that are genuine and sincere, not players, not fair weather friends. Cornelius was sincere and serious. The second thing, he's God-fearing. So here's a rare trait among men and women, because there are many people today who come and go from church and from here to there, and they have no concern or fear of God. Now, this isn't that God's going to kill them or slap them down. It is simply a understanding that God is holy. There's a reverential fear of God. He's God. And when we stand before him, we could be suspended in space alone. He feared God. He knew that God would have the last word and that he is indeed holy. Listen, be very careful about how you deal with God's people or God's servants. Be very sensitive to those areas. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says, therefore, verse 1, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's the fear, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You say, well, I've done this and I've failed here and I've got this problem and this issue. Well, today's a day to start. Amen. Thank God we're alive. Thank God we have an opportunity. And he says here, the fear of God will cause us not to trifle with sin, to live in the flesh, and to be carnal. The word carnal is meaning to let your flesh call the shots and say what you think and what you feel and just be who the old cussed self that we are. How many can know what I'm talking about? How would you know if someone, what's the test for being carnal minded? Letting your flesh display and say things, whatever. Well, there's a place in the Bible I found where it gives us a test if we're carnal. It says in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3 and verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. He wasn't talking to people who just got saved last week. He's talking to people that have been in the work of God. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. You know, it's pretty bad when you got to part the mustache to get the bottle in. That isn't in the scriptures. I just thought of that. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. Verse 3 says, for you are still carnal. For where there are, here it is, envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? There's the test for carnality. Envy, strife, and divisions. Said, are you not just mere men? And so here he's talking so powerfully about the fear of God and the fear of God. One thing I learned from my dad, I miss him so much, is the fear of God. I mean to tell you, I remember him praying and belching and saying to God, excuse me, Father. I mean, I don't do that, but he had an awesome reverential fear of God. And so he says the fear of God makes us clean, makes us right. Psalm 19:9 says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. It makes us wise. Yes, Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. What are those commandments? They are the Ten Commandments. And he gives us a list of those Ten Commandments. And he says, if we break one, we've broke them all. I said, if he breaks one, we've broke them all. Amen. That's why Jesus said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need Calvary's cross. We all need the grace of God and the mercy of God upon our lives. Can you say amen? And so he gave generously. That's another trace. He had a lifestyle of giving finances. He was just generous. You know, God will let a lot of money flow through your hands if you won't let it stick to your fingers. There used to be a man in our church by the name of Milt Roeder. I can preach a little bit about him. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Milt Roeder. Years ago, I went to him for a loan. Interest rates were up there at 11% on a house. I went to him for a loan, and he processed that loan. We went all the way through, finally got it all fixed. And at the end, I said, now I'm going to witness. And so I asked him, had he ever had a relationship? Did he ever know the Lord? Have you ever met Jesus and been forgiven and accepted him into your life? And he said, no. I said, why don't you come to church? He came to church and came out of his seat and came right down to that altar. I'll never forget it. He got saved. He came here for several years before he went back to his farm in Kansas. One day he invited me to Red Lobster. We were in Red Lobster eating. And he said, Ron, I want to show you something here. He takes an envelope out and he just pushes it across the table. He said, "This is yours." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, open it." And I opened it and it was a $10,000 check. He pulled out another envelope. He said, "This is for the church. Open it." I opened it up. It was a $10,000 check for the church. It went into the church. He was a generous man. And the most amazing thing is that that farm was kept for him from his parents. He could have lost it in a divorce, but he forgot to tell her about it. God give us more men like that. That's all I got to say about that. But the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great people. In the New King James, it says, a man's gift makes a room for him in the New King James. In the New King James. And brings him, the ESV says, before the great. So here, I think of this angel as being the great. Some men's giving habits will bring judgment on them. You say, "How's that, Pastor?" Well, Jesus gave us a story of a man who was stingy. The rich man and Lazarus. He fared sumptuously every day. He had fine clothes. He had the good life. And there was a man he went by who had sores. And the dogs came and licked his wounds, his sores. But the Bible says the rich man went to hell. I think we should know, as Pastor Paul said, there's something about how we finance ourselves and deal with finances that's important to God. Someone said that there's a lot that Jesus said about money, even more than hell. I'm not here to argue that, but I do know this, that stinginess can cause a curse to come on our life. So here, the stinginess of the rich man was noted. He was also a praying man. He was a man that was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon was praying. That's the time. The ninth hour is what the King James and the New King James. The ninth hour means at 3 in the afternoon. It's interesting to me that in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1 says that Peter and John went to prayer at the hour of prayer, which was also the ninth hour or 3 in the afternoon. It tells me that there maybe could be a set time where we are reminded to go to God in prayer. Because if we just live by crisis and issues and when we can and when we're driving or whatever. How many know what I'm talking about? It's like a discipline. It's like I need to be at prayer at a certain time. I've made up my mind to make this a habit. He was at the third hour, and the scripture says he prayed always. How did he do that? He prayed without ceasing. He was praying, calling, looking, beseeching, where's God in this life? Can I hear? Can I know? How can I know? He had a heart for God. How many know what I'm talking about? How many's ever had a bad drug experience? Yeah. You didn't want those demons. You don't want those demons. Had those things chase you in your dreams. Amen? And terrorize you. That's what they are. They're night terrors. They're demonic. And you know, you want God to come in and step in your world and give you peace and rebuke those foul spirits and break those curses and give you peace in your soul. Peace in your mind. This man prayed always. And the angel said, your prayers have come up as an offering to God. A Gentile. A man who is devout and sincere. Oh God, give us sincere people. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know your thoughts that I think toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Let me tell you something. If it's a negative, it's probably the devil. He mocks you. He mocks your physique. He mocks your intellect. He mocks your bank account. He mocks your history and your past. He is the accuser of the brethren. Hear God Almighty, Lord God Almighty, the infinite, no beginning, no ending God. He speaks and he says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. Pray. And God says, I will step in. Isaiah, the prophet of old, 700 years before Jesus, he says in Isaiah chapter 49, shall the prey be taken from the captive? Shall the lawful captive be delivered from that one that's a terrorist? Yes, he shall be delivered, even though you made choices that brought your bondage. When you turn to Jesus with all your heart, he remembers to forget your sin and your iniquity, and he will forgive you even when you made the wrong choice if you'll turn to him and repent. Glory. If you turn to him, he will forgive you. He will redeem you. He will take you from the terrorist and the snare that you've gotten your life into and set you free. That's the God we know today. That's the God who's faithful today. And he's a merciful God. Hallelujah. And prayer is the catalyst that opens up the blessing of God. Find a place. Get serious. We hear too much about it. Don't do enough about it. I think of all the things that maybe we're lacking, all of us, and myself included, is we need more prayer. More dedicated, sincere prayer before God. Amen? And so, Matthew, Jesus says in chapter 6 and verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Close the door, not just the physical door, but the door of your mind. And say, this belongs to God. This doesn't belong to work. It doesn't belong to family. It doesn't belong to entertainment. It belongs to Jesus. And I close that door to every outside influence. Can you say amen? Amen. Cornelius prayed in secret, but God rewarded him openly. I've been in prayer. I tell you today, I wake up in prayer. I get up and say, thank you, Jesus. This is another day. Thank God for this day. You made this day. I will rejoice in it. I'm going to turn my faith loose today. I'm going to turn my back on the devil and sin and all those evil things and call upon the Lord and pray. Go with me today, God. He'll go with you to your job, Reese. He'll go with you to your work. He'll bless you and prosper you and help you. He'll go with you wherever you are. He said, I will never, ever forsake you. I'll never leave you. This is the Jesus that we're serving and talking about today. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. And God will reward you openly. What's the difference in our life? We've been with God. What's the difference that causes people to see something there that they can't understand? They need that peace and that expression of life. They need that joy. What is it? It's that we've been in the presence of God. And just like Moses of old when he came down from the mountain and his face was glowing. Oh, friends, I'm telling you today, God is powerful. He's real. He's moving. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's moving mightily in the earth. The eyes of the Lord and the Spirit of God is working. And you've said something to someone, and God takes that word and continues to deal with them. He immediately obeyed. God knew he would. He immediately obeyed. When God speaks to us, we shouldn't weigh it and question. Amen? He wants, you say, why doesn't God speak to more people? Because he knows they won't obey. He knows. Of all the people, he knew Cornelius, this Italian, would open the door to the Gentile world. And those people would suddenly begin to believe God and get saved. And Peter's called on the carpet. He goes back. They call him back to the church. They say, why? What are you doing going over there to those people? They're not our people. And he reiterated everything that we just talked about. He said, well, all I know is that they got saved like we did. Don't limit God. Don't put a lid on God. He can move where he wants to move. He obeyed immediately. It says in Acts 10 and 7, and when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called immediately two of the household servants and a devout, dedicated soldier from those who waited on him continually. You see, these people were faithful. They were servants. Can you see it? They were servants. Pastor says, can you do this or this and this? Yes, I can take care of that. It's done. It's done. Don't you love that? When God speaks, it said, from those who had waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. No hesitation. No analyzing. No. Immediate obedience. I was able to visit with Pat Looper, his family. It's good to have you guys. And you know what he wanted to talk about? He said, you know, he's pretty weak. He said, you know, just the other day, I woke up and the Lord spoke to me to pray for Don Portnova. And I obeyed right then. And he was so pleased to be able to say, the Lord spoke to me and I obeyed. That's a good thing. I want to be like that. And he'll walk with you. And he'll talk with you. And he'll tell you, you're his own. Amen. Amen. There's an example. Dear old Cornelius. And the rest of the story is Peter gets there and he preaches a simple gospel. And as he's preaching the simple gospel, not some big out there crazy, there's so many doctrines and crazy stuff. The simple gospel. And the Spirit of God came out of heaven and fell upon that family. Oh, the whole tribe, a whole family. That tells me God wants to save the whole family. Amen? Amen. And Peter said, he worked with them as he did with us. Folks, I tell you, there's a harvest and the best is yet to come. Tanzania is waiting on us, Rod. Tanzania. I haven't been overseas in 6 months. Pray for me. I'm having withdrawal. But I can tell you this. God is at work in planet Earth. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit. You watch these people. You watch the hand of God upon your life. If you don't believe that, you can know it today. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you here today that we've come this far by faith. We've come this far by simple faith. Some have fallen down, but you helped them get up. You said a good man or woman can fall 7 times and get up, get up, get up, and move. Thank you today that there are people here. They're not happy about themselves or their past, but you're bringing a new hope into their hearts, and the sunlight of God is beginning to shine again. The possibility of God. Thank you for that today. While our heads are bowed, how many here today all over this assembly in this house, you'd raise your hands up and say, you know what, Pastor, I don't know if I really do have a right relationship. I need to know that I am really right with God. I see your hands. Just put them up high. Put them up high. Pray for me. I want to go out of this place knowing that I have gotten right things right. Hands are going up everywhere. How many more? You'd say, you know what? How many more? I understand the fear of God. I'm not trifling with sin anymore. Some of us need to watch what we're watching on the television. We need to watch what we're saying about people. We need to take care of ourselves, for He is a holy God. How many more would raise your hands with these? Just slip them up and say, here it is. I'm making a decision today. God bless you. God bless you. Amen, amen. Let's stand, shall we, together? And as we stand preparing, I want every person, whether you raised your hand, especially those who've raised your hand, but those you didn't raise your hand, but there's something in your mind, something on your mind. Why don't you bring it and settle it and give it to the Lord?
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages, subscribe and go to our podcast channel for more episodes. If you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.